Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin actually in a passage in 1 Corinthians. So if you will open your Bibles also to 1 Corinthians 5. If you have electronic Bibles, it's hard to open them in the same, at the same time. 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll just read two verses from that, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 7. All right, let's stand, please. A pastor has to decide what he's going to do very quickly when you start becoming a pastor. You can preach either what your hobby horses are, meaning you have three or four sermons and you just want to beat people up every week, or you can choose to preach what people want to hear every week. I chose a long time ago to at least have one service and hopefully two a week where I preach through a book of the Bible where you are confronted with the whole counsel of God, whether you want to or not. How do you like that? As opposed to just picking random verses, which then you can make the Bible kind of mean what you want it to be. Now, I'm going to warn you this morning. That's kind of a funny. This is not my words, but it's not positive. The passage we're going to read is a direct warning to you and to me. Jesus made it, so I guess we want to hear it. Verse 6. Your glorying, your boasting is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. We're not going to really spend any time with that other than to say this. I don't assume anything anymore. What is leaven? Leaven, you say it's yeast. You'd be kind of correct. Kind of. They obviously, you didn't go to Jewel and buy yeast. Hello? Yeast would be from dough. So you would take a portion of your dough or someone else's dough, and it normally was transferred that way. We still do bread that way. What kind is it, Mrs. Warren? What is it? Sourdough. So, you know, it wasn't, don't think of a little container of yeast you bought it, but it's a similar, it's the same stuff even. But the main emphasis of yeast or leaven in the Bible, just like yeast tends, when you mix it with something, it tends to permeate everything and take over the dough, so to speak, and permeate it. The Bible many times uses leaven as a picture of sin, and in this case, it uses leaven as a different concept. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Verse 13 is kind of the hinge verse. It kind of concludes the previous three verses, and then it talks about Jesus taking a journey. Verse 13, he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. There's a lot of journeys back and forth on the Sea of Galilee. Verse 14, and this, historically, is the important verse, historically. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So basically, this is where everything turns on. The disciples can't get their brain off of anything except what they're eating. The rest of the chapter is that. Their whole life is dominated by, well, we don't have any food, as if Jesus couldn't provide food. Verse 15. And he charged them, commanded them, warned them, cautioned them, very strong word, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, and the leaven or the yeast of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, it's because we have no bread. Really? So you didn't have enough Big Macs, and you think Jesus is talking about Big Macs? We continue. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Why is it that I keep doing things and you never get it? Look at me. If you find yourself always going back to the beginning, Houston, we have a problem. This morning, I'm going to talk about a little leaven. But I'm not talking about yeast, and I'm not talking about bread. We're going to put out a warning in an application to our life. Father, I thank you for this day. As we must kind of get serious occasionally in a church and look at serious matters. Because what really affects us in life is not what we're having for lunch, not whether we eat healthy or don't eat healthy or eat a mixture thereof. I think Jesus is warning us about more serious matters than that. Lord, I would ask that you would use me to preach clearly. And I would ask that you would grasp the hearts and minds and open eyes and ears. It would be wonderful today if some folks began to hear and began to see. May it be so in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Two words. But the two words were in Spanish. And I didn't know either word for sure. But they looked important that day. Jenny and I were on vacation, maybe 8-10 years ago in Mexico. We were where we've been a lot, but we had never been this place. We were in the last 3 days of our vacation. We were taking a trip to another Maya ruin. In the Yucatan Peninsula, we were taking a trip over in this section, which is a very desolate section in the north, kind of central area. It's very desolate. Nothing's there. There are no towns there. People don't live there much. But there was a well-known Maya site that had a good road to get to it. And the town, the little site, or big site actually, is called Coba. It's very remote. It's all alone, but we wanted to go see it at least once, so we did. We took our map, we drove towards Coba, and we drove right to the place. And when we arrived, it was a small little town. You know, you get down there, it's a town totally geared to tourism. We pulled into the town. I can remember coming into the town, and as you drive in, town is not the right word. Village, less than a village. You come, which probably don't know this, but in the Yucatan Peninsula, they don't have lakes very much because of the nature of the stone. This area has lakes, and you drive up, and you literally come to a lake sitting like this, and you either have to go to the left or you go to the right. And we looked over, and I remember seeing the hotel we were going to stay at, so we drove this way towards the hotel. And as I drove down the road, we're looking around because this is a new place, and we know we have to eat. We're looking for the hotel. We're looking for where the Maya ruin might be, and the Maya ruin was the other direction. But we see our hotel, so we drive down, and as we drive down this little road, towards our hotel, we see a couple of, like, restaurants here or places to eat, and we see the lake. And about every 10, 15, 20 feet is a sign with something in Spanish on the sign. But it really wasn't words that I, especially the first word, I didn't know what it meant. By the way, it's not wise to go to a country and not know what signs mean. But I saw the sign, and I thought, I saw it, didn't pay much attention to it. We drove on in. We unpacked our stuff, and it was time for lunch or supper or whatever it was. I don't know. We were going to go eat, so we got back out, drove back out, and parked. And we parked right across from the lake, and there were those signs. And Lourdes and Rafael, you have to help me a little bit. The first word was peligroso. But I thought it was peligrosa. But they're both danger, correct? But see, I didn't know that. So I thought, is that the same as peligroso? I'd seen that before, but it was peligroso. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Then the next word, I thought I kind of know what that first part, but I'm not sure. It said peligroso, crocodrilo. So, but by the way, signs aren't important, are they? Yes or no? They're not important. We looked out there, you know, and it was weird because this whole lake, about every little bit, there was another one of these signs, you know, and it was like peligroso, crocodrilo. And I'm, well, after a while, we're looking at the lake. I think is how we figured it out. We're looking at the lake, and you notice something in that lake. And what you see is these two little bug eyes sticking out. And then you see this long shadow. Oh, that meant danger, crocodiles, some friends. Oh, by the way, we didn't mind this, though. Ginny just went swimming. She had no problem just because there's crocodiles. She's not afraid of a few crocodiles, are you? Friend, if you'll look with me to verse 15, please. In verse 15, which is the main verse of this whole section, it is the theological section that Jesus wants to speak to us about. It says this, and he, Jesus, charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And number one this morning in this passage about leaven, we start with this. Number one, there are dangers. This passage, please look at me, friend, is almost supercharged because it has three words. I'll wait till the folks already asleep wake up. You see, you're not going to like yourself at the end of this sermon because you're swimming in a pool that says peligroso, crocodrilo, and you're playing games. You are the person Jesus is speaking to this morning. This passage starts with a command. King James says charged. That means to charge, to warn, to command, to caution. And then, strangely enough, two different ways. It says take heed in Old English, and then it says beware. Another way of saying, I mean, these words are really interchangeable words. It means like watch out, and then look out. So my friend, when Jesus says to you, watch out, look out, maybe you should wake up. But maybe you're smarter than Jesus, and warnings don't matter to you because crocodiles don't bother you, do they? I sometimes wonder what's wrong with Americans. We are inundated with warnings. We now have car seats for children up to age 24. In order to ride a bicycle, you have to have helmets, elbow pads, knee pads, and strobe lights on your bike. I learned a few years ago that if I wanted to be healthy and feel good, I can't say that word, and be something else, I needed to eat yogurt. But then I found out yogurt wasn't good by itself. There needs to be some sort of a colony. I don't want a colony inside of me, but you need a colony of yeast of a certain variety. And then I found out a few years ago that it really wasn't yogurt or that colony of yeast. It needed to be Greek yogurt. And recently I found out it needs to be Greek yogurt light or low fat. May I say this to you? In this room, we are so entertained by stupid that when someone says, danger, we just roll over and go back to sleep. My wife and I met Dr. Moritz and his wife Friday. We went up to see Mr. Losey. Dr. Moritz called me, said he was coming to the mall for, you know, for had to do something there. He says, is there a Ruby Tuesdays there? And I said, yes. So we all met, Jenny and I met, he and his wife, and we went over to Ruby Tuesdays, and I went there because I like the salad bar. See, you're laughing, but I got salad, Jenny. Did I get salad? But I walked up to the salad bar because we all know that that old lettuce that we used to eat is of no value, right? So I saw that kind there. Then there was kind that had multicolors. What do you call that stuff, Jenny? So they had multicolored stuff. And then there was another kind that said it had spinach. You know, espinaca. But listen, folks, I couldn't eat the salad because I only eat kale now. Somebody don't even know what kale is. You say, what's your point? We are a bunch of fools. We chase every rabbit on earth. But when Jesus says, look out, watch it, we go back to sleep. I want to say this to you clearly. There are dangers, my friend, and you better figure out what they are. And if you're a person that has been in this church a long period of time and your life never gets past zero, this is for you. You are the person swimming in the lake that says, peligroso, crocodrilo. I think it's time to wake up. Look back at the text, please. By the way, the message this morning is simple. Mark 8 and verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware. So I've already said that. There are dangers. Look out, watch out. And then he says, what are those dangers? The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. I do not like to do this, but this morning we will. If you'll hold your hand here and look at the parallel passage in Matthew 16. Please look at the parallel passage in Matthew 16. Because really, this is the hard part of the sermon. It's not mean, it's just hard. I'm going to speak as an American to Americans the most un-American thing I can possibly say. Okay? As an American, though some of you are from different countries, two Americans to the biggest yawn you're going to have in a year. We'll get there. Matthew 16, 11. Now remember, the passages sometimes record slightly different things. In Matthew 16, 11, the parallel passage, Jesus asked them, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And see, in this passage, we add Sadducees and drop Herod. Matthew 16, 12 says, then understood they how that he had bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the, let's drop the word doctrine, teaching of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now look at me, friend. This passage is simple. There are dangers. Number two, dangers that are primarily dangerous ideas. Are you ready? The sleepyheads now, going back to sleep. Do this. Because in America, we are the most anti-intellectual, non-idea people. And the very thing Jesus is warning about you, look at me, it's not how you part your hair. It's not the shoes you wear. It's not how you cut your facial hair. He's warning you about ideas, dangerous ideas, which requires this thing. He says, beware. Beware, not of bread, or how much bread you have, or if you don't have bread, or if today you don't eat your favorite food. He's saying there's some ideas that the Pharisees teach. There are some ideas that Herod teaches or believes. There are some ideas, we're not going to get into that this morning, that's in Matthew, that the Sadducees teach. And my friend, the danger for us primarily lies in ideas. Look at me. What we believe, how we think. And what you believe controls everything in your life. Look at me. You walk in this room and you say this, I'm not a smart person. That is a belief. That is an idea. And that idea lets you off the hook. Everything we do comes from within, and it's the ideas that we believe. So Jesus says there are dangers. Number two, dangers that are primarily dangerous ideas. Now, what are those ideas? I'm glad you ask. Well, the first idea is an idea of the Pharisees. Turn your Bibles, Mark chapter 7, the previous chapter. I'm not going to read every verse. I'm not going to explain every line. I want you to see, what was it about the Pharisees that Jesus wanted to warn us about? He specifically wanted us to warn us about something about the Pharisees. By the way, I'll catch up to you someplace today, even if the Pharisees don't interest you. By the time we get to point three, and we look at one idea that every person in this room has, I'll come and park in your lap in just a few minutes. What was he worried about the Pharisees? Mark 7 and verse 3. I think you'll be able to figure it out just by Pastor Warren reading this over and over. Mark 7 and verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not. Here it is. Holding the traditions or tradition of the elders. Mark 7, verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be. They have all these traditions. Mark 7, and verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the scripture? Oh no, the traditions of the elders. Mark 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath, this is the Greek form of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Everyone look at me. Do you know what the teaching of the leaven, you know what the leaven was of the Pharisees? There was two sides. The one side was, we have all of these traditions, and this is how we do things, and this is what I believe, and this is what it means to be an American, or this is what it means to be of my culture, and this is the way. And Jesus was saying, you hold on to all of your traditions. On the other hand, there was a piece of this, and we're getting into it in this verse, that when Isaiah talks about this, he talks about hypocrisy. You're fake. You're playing a game. You're not real. Well, let's see what it says. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When I was a young man, I'm going to confess one of my misbeliefs. I believe that in Bible-believing churches, we believe the Bible, and people were passionate about Scripture. I thought it was Catholics and Lutherans, where when you watch, if you've ever watched the Mass on Christmas Eve in Chicago, and you see the men walking in, and this is what they're doing. They're walking up to get communion. And then one day I realized, oh no, Baptists are the same. Right here in this church, we have people, your heart is so disconnected from your religious talk, you wouldn't even know the difference. My friend, Jesus warns us against two things. Holding on to your tradition, saying, well, this is what I believe, that has nothing to do with Scripture. And the second thing, when the heart is removed from God, but we talk well. We have good religious conversation. We have God talk. Well, let's keep reading. He keeps saying this over and over. So you don't have to wonder what the leaven is he's warning us about. Look, if you would, to verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Verse 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. My friend, the danger of the Pharisees was a dangerous idea, that you could create your own religion from your own traditions. Who cares what Scripture says? I believe. I had a person tell me this. If you witness to people, you'll have it. A person said to me, I've actually had this many times, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm a Catholic. I had a charismatic say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm a charismatic. And it's like, you're exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about you hold your traditions, and there's something about your life that's hypocritical. You talk good religion, but in the matters of the heart, you're far from God. That's the first idea that's dangerous. What about the second idea? Well, let's look. The second, Mark chapter 8, verse 12. Notice there was a second, the leaven of Herod. What is the leaven of Herod? You'll need to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. I'm sorry we need to turn around, but we need to do this so we understand. What in the world about Herod would be the sort of thing that we would need to be warned about what Herod believed and what Herod practiced? And by the way, folks, when I look around America, many people have whole religions they have created. All kinds of stuff. And you start asking them, where in the Bible does it say that? And they get mad at you. It's like, but they can reject the scripture in order to follow that. And of course, hypocrisy. Herod has a different problem. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. By the way, it all revolves around a simple word in the English. For of a truth. The next word, do you notice that word? What's that word? Against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Notice this, both whom? Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. My friend Herod had a different problem. His problem was his worldly ambition. He cared about nothing except money, power. I'm going to be crude. Money, power, sex, and entertainment that he had at that day. I had a guy say to me once, I tried to witness to him, tried to share the gospel. He looked at me without blinking and he said, I don't want to know anything unless it makes me money. And Jesus knew some people do the create your own religious variety. They make it up as they go along. They believe things that have nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with Scripture. They hold on to all of that. Other people are more geared to power, money, sex, entertainment. I've said this, I have to tame this way down. These are not the exact words, but these are the exact message. I had a guy that I was sharing from the Bible with how to be saved. I talked about sin. I talked about the consequences of sin. I talked about Christ dying for our sins. And somewhere about right there, by the way, you can pray prayers, you can manipulate people, but what happens is the Holy Spirit points out people's sins. Right in the middle, the guy just looked at me quickly like this and said, does this mean I'll have to stop having sex with my girlfriend? By the way, I hadn't talked about his girlfriend or sex. Who had? Because the Spirit of God always comes after your sin. Did this guy get saved? No, he bought into Herod's ideas. Herod's ideas are money, power, fame, entertainment, sex, and all that's life. The Pharisees, it's my traditions and what I believe and what I grew up with, and it's I can be a hypocrite here, and that's okay. And Jesus says, you know what? Both of these are dangerous. By the way, this is for the ladies. Though men have this problem too. Though generally, because women are more sensitive, women have it generally more. I had a woman right in the middle of sharing the gospel look at me and say this, and I am not talking about this. She says, does this mean I have to forgive my dad? And by the way, the answer, of course, is
Yes.
So she gets saved. Oh, no, because the last thing on earth she was ever going to do was forgive her father. My friend, Jesus says there are dangers. And the dangers are in these dangerous ideas. These ideas that allow us not to come to Christ, not to trust Christ. And if we're a Christian, ideas that allow us not to follow Christ. We never go anyplace because we have ideas that always justify what we're doing. Whether it's Pharisees, whether it's Herod and in Matthew, whether it's Sadducees, makes no difference. Tradition, hypocrisy, worldly ambition, power, money, stuff. I'm going to say this. Most of us in this room have not dealt in power positions in corporations. I have just touched on that a few times in my lifetime, and every man I ever touched on at that high of a level were just like Herod. I don't want to be bothered by stuff like this. Jenny, we had a couple visit our church in St. Louis 14 Sundays in a row. He was a headhunter for corporations. The Saturday before they joined our church, I visited them. They wanted to join. Look at me. 14 Sundays they visited the church in St. Louis. I'm almost positive that's correct. I visited him, and he said to me, Pastor Warren, you have a degree, and you worked in a laboratory. I said, yes. He said, you did drug testing before, didn't you? And I said, yes. He says, I have a woman that's going to work in this corporate job, but she smokes pot. Now, you understand, I'm a pastor, and I'm a Christian before a pastor. He asked me, is there any way I can get this woman to pass this test for drugs and get this job? And my first thought was, well, sure. Stop smoking pot. But what did he want? He wanted to know if there was some way of cheating that test. Oh, by the way, he cheated that test for her. She got that job. They joined on Sunday morning. And Jenny, what happened after that? Well, look at me. Don't talk religious crap to the guy you're looking at here. I've seen lots of religion. This morning, by the way, God knows you right where you're at. Right where you're seated. And he's warning you of certain ideas. I don't know what all those ideas are, but we all have them. And here's the problem. We have them until we finally surrender those dumb ideas to Christ. Some of them keep us from getting saved, like Herod. By the way, Herod's not going to give up his wives, his sin, his debauchery, his power, his ability to murder people, you know, like John the Baptist and people like that. The Pharisees don't want to give up their religion. You know, you meet them all the time. I'm a Catholic. Now, they haven't been to Catholic Church in 30 years. They don't know what Catholics teach. When you tell them what Catholics teach, the first thing they say to you, I don't believe that. Then why are you a Catholic? Because that's a way of, I have my traditions, you have yours, shut up and leave me alone. My friend, Jesus himself warns us of the leaven of the Pharisees. He warns us of the leaven of Herod. Both of these will keep us from Christ. Both of these will stop us where we are. Look back, if you would, to Mark 8, verse 15. Would you look there with me, please? I have said so far, from the text, directly, there are dangers. Peligroso. Crocodrilo. By the way, you can believe whatever you want to believe right up until that crocodile bites your leg off. Yes? Look at me. You can believe whatever you want to believe until the moment you're dead. And then you stand before God and what you believe doesn't matter. There are dangers. Those dangers are primarily dangerous ideas. Here's the third concept. Jesus said, he charged them saying, take heed, watch out, beware, look out, of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Number three, not only are there dangerous ideas, and those dangers are primarily dangerous ideas. Thirdly, dangerous ideas that quickly and easily dominate us. They start controlling who we are. They start dominating and captivating everything about us. The whole point of this passage is what 1 Corinthians 5:6 says. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, or a little bit of yeast spreads throughout the whole piece? And the next thing you know, this little bitty idea dominates your life. So these dangerous ideas can quite easily and quite quickly grab us. And the next thing you know, we never go anyplace, because this idea has spread into all places of our life. By the way, yeast, even more than water. A few years ago, Tim Durham, my buddy here, my son and a few other people put a bathroom in upstairs. Second Timothy, it's all his fault, isn't it? They removed one of our registers, water registers. We have water heat in the house. So they removed it from the bathroom and somebody didn't turn off the water. Now the bathroom is upstairs on the back side of the house. All we know, I wasn't home. I was in the Philippines, right, Jenny, when they were doing this. When I come home, first thing I notice when I walk in the house, downstairs, in the front of the house, in the corner, way away from the bathroom, water has damaged our ceiling. Because water goes every place. You know the problem with yeast? Look at me. One little dumb idea gets into all kinds of places and ruins your house. I'm going to mention two. The first one is the worst idea Americans have ever believed. The worst idea that Americans have ever believed, and by the way, I'm only going to mention this, I hope you have ears to hear. Most Americans believe this: ideas don't matter. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. It's only your heart, Pastor Warren. Not realizing in the Bible, your heart encompasses your mind. By the way, if you have the belief that ideas don't matter, let Pastor Warren say a few things to you, and then I'll move on to something that I told you I'm going to come and visit you in a minute. If you believe that ideas don't matter, you do realize that saying that ideas don't matter is an idea. When you say doctrine doesn't matter, you have just made a doctrine. That is an idea. So you must think at least one idea matters. By the way, that is an idea that will permeate everything about you. It is an idea that will support and defend and allow all of your sin. But I come to a uglier idea that Americans have. I came across this 15 years ago. One day I was out at the dentist office. What's the name of that? Family Associates of Family Dentistry? Dr. Dobrin. Out on, what is that road, Washington? And then off to the side, someplace across the highway off to the side. I was out with Dr. Dobrin. And I'd been going there for a while, and I had some decay, and I needed to get a filling. My favorite thing to do. Fillings are not quite as fun as a root canal, but they're close. So I went there to get a filling, and I go in that morning, and I sit down in the seat, and there's a young lady that gets everything set up, and I have no idea what her name is. This is 15 years ago. I don't know what her name is. I see her there occasionally. She only helps with fillings. She's there, and I look at her, and it's immediately obvious to me that she hasn't slept in a couple of days. Now, I'm a friendly person. I try to be nice to people. I try to build bridges, build relationships for lots of reasons. I'd seen her before, and I look at her and says, well, what happened? Is something wrong? And she goes into this long story. She says, well, last night, my boyfriend got stone cold drunk. He passed out in Indiana. And she said, I'm in Illinois. He's way over in Indiana. He's so drunk that he can't drive. He's passed out. I had to get somebody to give me a ride over there. I get over there like at 2 or 3 in the morning. I have to put him in his car. I have to drive his car back. He's unconscious the whole way. I bring him back to Illinois where he lives. I put him in his house. And she had to transfer cars or something. She gets home. She says, I had time to get in the shower, take a shower, and come to work. I looked at the young lady. I'll call her name Susie. I said, Susie, what? Susie, didn't you just get divorced from a man because the man was a stone cold drunk? And I probably was that crude. She said, yes. I said, why did you meet another man who was a stone cold drunk? These are the words, look at me, out of her mouth, and I am going someplace with this. Pastor Warren, I just like to have fun. Do you realize from Atong here to the Mogales back here to Bambi over here to the Halls over here, do you realize your idea of fun will dominate everything about your life? I'm going to ask you a question. What's your idea of fun? I'm asking you a question. Is your idea of fun? Well, let me see if any of these are your idea of fun. And by the way, your idea of fun is not what you say, it's what you do. Is your idea of fun learning a new language? Exploring a different civilization? Playing a sport? Not watching, you noticed. Playing a sport? Working out, taking a walk, going down by the lakefront, learning about a geographical area of the world that you don't know anything about. Start with Ossetia. Reading a book, talking with a friend, maintaining a friendship, hiking in a park. How about this one? Conversing with your children. Is this your definition of fun? By the way, friend, we're talking about warning. I'm going to give you the greatest warning you have ever heard at Lake County Baptist. Until you get a hold of your definition, your idea of fun will dominate everything you do. Just an idea. So how about this? Conversing with your children? Is that one of your ideas of fun? I got news for you. Not every day, because my daughter can be mean to me, but I would rather spend time with my daughter and my son than anybody in this room. You say, why? Because they're pretty smart and they're pretty interesting. How about this? My idea of fun, or your idea, is it developing new skills? How about creating some kind of woodwork? How about memorizing and meditating? How about going to a concert at Ravinia and seeing Itzhak Perlman and the Chicago Symphony? How about taking a trip to the Field Museum or the Science and Industry Museum or the Oriental Institute or the Aquarium? Or is your idea, and boy, are you awake, is your idea of fun TV, drinking, and partying? Which is it? By the way, there's no need for me to pastor a church of people that can't get to around their small brains, that if you can't think about what you think about, you have no hope. I can warn you the rest of my life, and you walk right out of here and go right back to TV, right back to the drinking, right back to the partying, because you're like this unsaved girl. That's what's fun. And I preach and pray and beg you to spend time with your children, and your children aren't significant, because you want to have fun, and fun doesn't include your children. Then I want to ask you, why did you have children? Why did you, what are you doing in life? My friend, I want to say this. until you understand how leaven works. It just goes every place, and all of a sudden, everything in your life becomes about this person having fun, as you describe it. So you're 60, 70, 80 years old. You've never learned anything about anything. You've never learned a new language. You've never explored a new culture. I talk to people all the time, and they say, how do you know that? And it's like, isn't life interesting to you, or do you just spend time? Screen time. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. You ever see kids? Scrolling. You know why? Because that's their idea of what? You say, what's their idea of? They don't want to talk to the people they're with. They want to talk to somebody else. So what is your idea of fun? You say, Pastor Warren, you're mean. Well, my idea of fun might be to learn something about a different language. I would like to explore lots of civilizations. I would like to play some sports. I actually like to, you say you're old. Yes, I'm old and I'm overweight, but I still like to work out. I still like to kick and punch a heavy bag. Still like to stretch. I still like to take walks. I want to learn about geographical areas. I was talking to our missionary recently, and I'm like, we're talking about Dagestan. I know you know where it's at. We're talking about Chechnya, close to Dagestan. We're talking about things, and I'm like, isn't that what fun is? Or is fun always back to the TV, back to the Facebook, back to the entertainment, or, look at me, kids, I'll tell you what kind of home your kids grow up in. What do they think is fun? Is fun, the only thing I do is I go to the bottle. That means you have never taught them what fun is, number one. And number two, you don't know. So, Pat, you say, Pastor, you're being mean. No, I'm not. Jesus looks at us as beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Herod. And we know what those are, but worse than that, friend, ideas permeate everything. I would love to see people in this room who had interest in something other than themselves. Lastly, look back, if you would, at Mark 8, 13 and 14. Would you look with me? I don't know what your idea is this morning that stops you. Mark 8, 13 says this, and he left them, and entering into a ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now the interim passage is the command. It's the center of the whole passage. But the disciples can only think about food. So number four, I have said there are dangers. Peligroso, crocodrilo. Number two, those dangers are primarily dangerous ideas. Number three, dangerous ideas that tend to dominate us. So you get around a person that gets saved even, but they haven't changed their mind about fun. And the moment they go through anything, they go back to the drinking. They go back to the smoking. They go back to the partying because they have these ideas that are not biblical. They can't even imagine. Maybe I should learn to play the piano. Well, I'm too old, Pastor Warren. By the way, how old do you have to be too old to learn? Dead, thank you. You say, I'll never be a... Who cares? Folks, don't you want to have a life? Or do you just want to live being entertained and being real close to your children going back to the boozing? I'm going to say this. I'm saying it directly to every parent here. If you have children or grandparents that live in the booze, you know why. You've had Christians that never change their idea of fun, and they are boring people, and they teach their children boring things, and their children go back to the old lifestyle. By the way, I never plan on going back to that kind of filth. You say, why? Why swim in a sewer? I got lots of good things to do, interesting things to do, fun things to do. I can't even, we live on one of the greatest places in the world, a world-class city like Chicago. You can go to Ravinia for $10 and see most classic concerts. I remember going there with Sparky and Sam and Jenny and I and seeing Planets by Holst. An unbelievable night. $10. What are you doing? Watching television. Sleeping. Look at me. going back to the drinking, all because of an idea called fun. Number four, these are dangerous ideas that must be dealt with. The disciples got fixated on food. Let me just say what their idea was. Everything's about eating. Matthew 8:16 says they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." You got to be kidding me. They couldn't get their brain away from bread. And Jesus knew it. He said to them, "Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not? Having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember?" Verse 19, "When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" They said 12. Then why are you thinking about food? "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" And they said 7. And he said unto them, and this closes the sermon, "How is it that you do not understand?" Friend, please look at me. I'm going to speak just to Christians. If you have been in this church for 5 years or more, and you find yourself always in the same place, somewhere along the way, you have adopted some idea that keeps you where you are. Because as a believer, here's the bottom line. If you don't learn that Jesus can take care of you, then that's always on your mind. Am I going to have enough to eat? They should have learned that. So when he talked about something else, they had already learned that. They were ready to move forward. Some people never learn that. Years ago, when I went to Bible college, we were required to take a test in English. I went to high school, got pretty much straight A's in high school, but English was not something we learned. Excuse me, grammar. I walked into the thing, and at the Bible college, you had to take an English test that basically determined how good. There you go. If you understood English. I remember they had predicate adjectives, predicate nominatives, direct objects, indirect objects. I looked at the test, handed it to the professor, and said, "I have no idea about any of this stuff." He says, "Welcome to 100 English. 100 is called bonehead English. You don't even get credit for it." But can I tell you something? Boneheads? I only took bonehead English one time. You say, "What'd you get?" An A. 100%. Then I took 101. What did I get? An A. I didn't want to have to take predicate adjectives again. May I say something to you? Don't be the disciples when Jesus says you need to get control of your ideas and you're still back here wondering, "I'm hungry. Can he take care of my food?" You ought to have already learned that. My friend, you only take English 100 once. English 101 once. 102 once. 201 once. You say, why? Because I learned what I needed to learn. And there happens in a Christian's life, I'll just say this and I'm done. In this room, if you believe ideas have no consequences, you will struggle in this church your whole life. Because you have all kinds of ideas that let you do what you want to do. Number two, if you believe your idea of fun is television, video games, Facebook, and worse than that, but it's the same thing, it's all about me, drinking, your kids will go back there. Because you have sold them on a lie that fun is about you. Here's what's fun. Learn something about other people's culture, language, background, food, geography, science, God, the universe. And all of a sudden, when you have children, look at me, they have a different idea of what fun is. Don't let leaven control your life. Father, I thank you for your word. This is not our favorite passage. We like this stuff about you providing our needs and feeding 4,000 and doing it miraculously. But when it comes to warnings, we roll over and go back where we were. And we just kind of stay stuck year after year, decade after decade. Because we can't understand that it's the ideas that we believe that control us. Father, help us to get a hold of a simple idea, the danger of ideas and how they're like leaven and they start impacting everything. Help us. Help us. Speak this morning. I ask, and I ask in Christ's name. Amen.